Go ahead.
This is episode 3, This Fetish Life, hosted by Emily Girard.
Hi, I'm Emily Girard, and I will introduce you to episode 3 of This Fetish Life, my podcast, and I would like to introduce Scully, a wonderful friend of mine that I met when I was doing the Test Fest 08 fashion show, and he helped everyone on stage, which I thought was really cool, the Rinky Dinky stage.
So, hi, everybody. My name's Scully. I'm a member of the New York City Fetish Tribe. I'm in the BDSM scene as well as the fetish scene, and pretty much consider myself an ambassador of a lot of different tribes. And, you know, I get around, have fun.
So we're going to have the same basic format that we did last time, which was we're going to talk about the definition, some words, and Scully's going to give us some words. He'll define for us. Spank me, spank you game.
We're going to put the bag next so that it went.
What's in my toy bag? First experiences in BDSM, parties, events, and happenings, and of course, my favorite and the best, answering listener questions, where I'll be answering listeners' questions that they submitted to me via email at Emily_Girard@yahoo.com. And I've been spelling it, so just listen to all the other podcasts and get how it is. So anyways, to our definitions. You got a definition for us, Scully?
Sure. The first one, I guess, is one of my personal favorites, pervertibles. Pervertibles is one of those also fun words because basically pervertibles is about taking everyday items that can be used for cooking and cleaning and just about anything you can think of in the vanilla world, and perverting them and using them for your kinky purposes. And that's one of my I like being creative and sometimes taking something that looks completely sweet and innocent and using it in the most devious, fun and interesting manner. It's one of those great little joys of my life.
One of our last words that we used the last podcast was pansexual, and we defined it using like Wikipedia.
Okay.
So what is your definition for pansexual?
Pansexual, one of the things with the advent of the internet is that everybody is communicating and sharing information on such a great, huge level that we really are in a stage where people are creating terms to kind of classify themselves with better classify themselves in ways that old language doesn't really quantify. Pansexual is one of the newer terms that just pretty much means they don't judge people by their race or their sexuality or their gender or whatever. It's not a two-class system of male or female. They're just attracted to whoever they're attracted to, regardless of what they are, how they classify, or how they define themselves. So pansexual is really just more of a catch-all term to say they're attracted to whoever they feel like being attracted to.
Another word we defined was heteroflexible, and Foxy is the one that brought that in. And I was like, oh man, heteroflexible. That's pretty.
She almost had to define that word again. When I was in the car on the way to the TV thing, somebody asked me about that.
Really? Who?
Well, the guy who's supposed to go to a couple of play parties and things was asking, well, what do you define yourself? And I was like, I would define myself as heteroflexible. And he's like, what is that? So we ended up having a quick discussion about heteroflexible and what it was and where I came up with it. And I was like, actually, it was on FedLife. www.fedlife.com.
Shameless plug.
Number one. You know I had to be the first. But yeah, it was just interesting because he was like, so I was like, because I used the term bent, and he was like, oh, bent, because he's an urban guy.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, okay, bent. Oh, okay, I got that. But when I used the actual word, he was like, hetero, what?
I didn't know what that word meant, bent. Yeah, because the people I hang out with don't use that type of vocabulary. I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
I've heard bent, but usually when they're explaining, they're saying, well, you know, I'm not straight, I'm bent. Yeah. And then, of course, it makes sense because you kind of visualize exactly what people mean.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you're not totally crooked, right?
Yeah.
A little off to the side.
I like the word heteroflexible.
Yeah, no, I like the thing that I like about heteroflexible is that it's pretty straightforward. No one, you know, most people can say, okay, heteroflexible, I get it. But it also creates that, it gives the opening for people who are not bi-curious. They've gone the step. They've moved past being curious.
Yeah. I hate that damn bi-curious bullshit.
And, well, and that's what it is, because they're really, for lack of a better term, people would say bi-curious when they were, you know, well, once in a while I might do something with the same sex.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a better word. Now there is.
Heteroflexible.
Exactly. Heteroflexible.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, spank you, spank me game. So the rules of the game is who would you spank, who would you let spank you, and it must be a celebrity, star, or a well-known person.
Or somebody you just want to real bad, because they don't be that famous as we saw last time.
Well, she said no one knew the it's a semi-band, quasi-celebrity band.
Right.
That's Stacey. But hey, no, that's who she wants to spank her. Yeah. So, you know, we got to roll with
it.
No
problem. So thumbs up to Stacey.
Since you're our guest, Scully, did you introduce yourself, Foxy?
Oh, hi.
This is Foxy.
Yeah, I'm back again. And I introduced myself. She means, did she say something about me? And then she's like, oh, you didn't speak up for yourself. You see how she just plays me
my
out?
My bad. Well, of course, but you guys know Foxy's voice.
This
she's
is like, this is my
that
third
is Foxy.
Time, right.
Yes, Foxy is a staple of the,
of the
this
show
Fetish
now.
Life show. So it's like,
Emily's protege.
Yeah, exactly. Dame in training.
Right. Spokesmodel on the side.
Yeah. With a side of fries.
With a side of leg, I think. I think it would be a side of leg.
Long legs.
Right.
Okay, so, since you're our guest, you go first.
Alright, so, I guess I have to you do have to break it up into the two parts. The spank me and the spank
you. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It is broken up, yes.
Well, I mean, as far as who I would like to spank, there's, I would definitely have to go with, Dita Von Teese.
Ooh.
I'm aiming high. I got no qualms about that. Dita Von Teese is a wonderful alternative fetish model who's known for her pin-up and burlesque shows.
Also, that she married Marilyn Manson.
Exactly.
Beautiful blue dress.
I just saw her website.
Yep, and on top of that, she's one of the most famous alternative models out there.
And she's not very tall.
She's been on the cover of Playboy several times and a whole bunch of other great things.
I think Dita is
she's
like,
short. No, it's not very tall. She's short. She's real show.
Dita's my height. She's 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. She's show. It's not tall. It's show.
But you know what? She made it. Mm-hmm. She made it. So
oh, yeah.
One of my favorite things about Dita is that she's just an amazing person. You know, in the world of models and everything, you always have people who are in there for the business, and it is a business. But when you actually meet somebody who's as beautiful on the inside as they are on the outside, it's special. And I had the pleasure of meeting her up in Boston when I was working at a goth fetish club called Man Ray. And she was the headlining act for their big B&D ball one year.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was working security at the time. So
nice. He's met Dita,
listen,
people. He is met Dita.
It wasn't, ooh. Yeah. I'm a big celebrity meter. There you go. I happen to work in clubs and bars and concerts and stuff, so I get to meet celebrities on a regular basis. But what was nice was after the show, when most celebrities duck and run back to their car and back to the hotel, she stuck around and hung out with a lot, you know, the staff, and she's just a really cool person to talk to. And that's something that's you don't see as often. And for that reason, I'd love, you know, of course, love to interact with her a little bit more.
You're like, oh, what I would do to get you on these thighs right here over with my hand with the smacking.
And there's just something about, one of my favorite things about fashion has to be corsets. Mm-hmm. Because not only does it accentuate the body, it gives you those great little handles right around the waist.
Yeah.
That just pick somebody up. That's one of my favorites.
It's like a little mug.
Yeah.
A little human mug.
So that's definitely my who I would, person I would like to spank.
Okay. Mm-hmm, Dita. Well, he's a big baller. He went all the way to the top.
Oh, right to the top.
Hey, you got to go there. You have to go there.
So who would you let spank you?
Now I've been giving this one some thought, because there's very few people that I would actually let, you know, whose lap that I would lay over.
Now, there, you're also allowed, because she made up this rule last time, to pick two people that you would spank. If you do not have someone in mind that you would allow to spank you.
If you're like ultimate dom and will let anybody spank you, which is, I let people.
I'm just saying.
Part of this is the, we're talking about the fantasy level of, I wouldn't have thrown out Dita Von Teese if this wasn't any chance in hell that ever actually happened. But, since we're talking about fantasy level, I'll put it out there that I'll bottom
maybe
somebody
really
once in a while.
Maybe she really wants an Emily Gerard corset. Maybe I could do
there
something
you go.
For
you. You got the hookup. Hey, yeah, I know Emily Gerard.
Hey, you know, she wants an outfit, I have a
request if you really want this corset. There's a little, some strings attached.
Exactly.
And this is why it's good to have friends.
Networking, that's what's going on right now.
Oh, networking.
Who are designers?
So I'd have to say that if I was going to let anybody spank me, it would absolutely have to be Robin Williams. Because the dirty talk coming out of that man's mouth would just be the funniest stuff in the world. He would come up with the most hilarious lines that you could be getting spanked for hours and you'd be too busy laughing to feel anything. So that would have to be my.
Can you imagine? I like that. That's very unique. Robin Williams like in leather. Wow.
I wouldn't have imagined him until I saw a 1 hour photo. I would have never imagined that with him.
I haven't even seen that.
One hour photo that he takes to that creepy side. I could totally see that. Just coming in the room like.
But he's funny. He's not like serial killer nut though.
Oh no! You need to see Insomnia in 1 hour photo, and you'll change that up real quick.
Wow.
Insomnia in 1 hour photo. Shameless plug for Robin Williams. Go see Insomnia. Go see 1 hour photo, and you will change your mind about him in this whole laughter. Ha ha ha! He is a funny guy, but he took it to that extreme, and that's when I was like, when he just mentioned that, I'm like, I could see that.
See, and I was going off of, Death to Smoochie, where he was wearing that really bright rainbow color jacket.
Yes.
That's what got me off, really.
Touching yourself right there. Like,
the white bowler and the rainbow jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Williams.
You want your kid
does it for
lap?
Me every time.
You want your kid to sit on Smoochie's lap? I remember that.
Well, listen, that's a furry, and, that's a totally different fetish there.
Wait, what? No. Smoochie was his name. Wasn't that him?
Smoochie was the purple dinosaur.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
what
are those
people? I get a negative for that.
Here's a part of the definition. Those people, because I don't know this word, the people who love the furry stuff, what's their name?
Yeah, they're furries.
The furries, yes.
Yeah. You said that's right.
Furries. The people who love all that, they get off on that furry stuff. I've had people want me to make bear suits and furry jackets and whatnot.
Good ones are expensive.
Yes. Yes, they are. They are. I'm trying to find some place I can get a real live, some tails. Some fox tails, because I've had a lot of costumes for foxy costumes, so, yeah.
We're thinking about Halloween people.
Yes, Halloween, there's a couple. I know it's only a month away, but for a designer.
That's not enough time. If it was 2 months away, it'd be not enough time.
Never enough time.
Never.
All right, Foxy, you go ahead.
Let's see, did I add anybody new to my repertoire? Okay, actually, we were just talking about this, and that's why I have to bring it up. So for the spank, for the spanking of another person, I have this thing about holistic Jews. So I would have to say, right, who's
Orthodox
I'm trying to
Jews.
Think, yeah, Orthodox, but I'm trying to think of the Jewish
Hasidic.
Actor, say the name?
The Hasidic Jews you're talking about? The
yeah.
Little
the,
curly.
She got the
oh
fetish.
My God.
She got the
oh my God. And then
Hasidic
the yarmulke with a prayer shawl underneath the Wait,
she's
I'm
hot.
Sorry.
She's
I'm
hot.
Flashbacks.
She's hot over
with
there.
With the little tassels hanging out the butt. Oh my, okay, I'm taking my jacket off.
Are
the jacket's coming off.
Are you listening to that? Are you listening to that? All you attractive Hasidic Jews men, there is a beautiful, gorgeous,
I'm
swaggy model
every time.
Who wants to spank you. Okay? Don't let
the
emails
one,
all come
one,
at once, okay?
There's one in particular, and I'm trying to remember, he's done a bunch of, it could even be somebody, trying to think, he's Jewish, it's a Jewish actor, and he has that look, like the dark hair, he doesn't have the curls, but he has the dark hair, maybe I'm thinking of Ben
what about
Stiller.
The one that raps? The one he was.
Oh, but he's little. I like him a little
meat. Bigger. Okay, there's one that rapped.
Probably Ben Stiller.
He didn't want to hug Eve, or there was some kind of controversy.
Yeah, he couldn't. No, he couldn't sing with Eve because he's not supposed to hear any other woman's voice except for his wife's. He's not supposed to sing with any other, or he's not supposed to hear any other woman sing other than his wife's because of something. But Ben Stiller has that look, that little. No, Adam Sandler. There he goes. Has that little.
Adam Sandler
has that good. Put a couple curls on him.
He was in that in the movie, I think.
He played that in the movie, and then he has to. Now the prayer shawl has to be underneath, and it's got to be the tassels hanging. He can have all his clothes on. That's not a problem.
The blue dye, the helmet.
I'm talking about color over the knee. Helmet. See, I wouldn't even want to tie him up. I'm talking about over the knee, like, and just rearing back.
And the suit all has to be black.
I'm out of breath right now, guys. I'm out of breath right now. Even my best friend will tell you I've always had this since I don't even know how long.
I think you're in luck because there are some Jews that show up to.
They do.
And I saw the last one when we had the runway show. There was one that showed up, and I was like about to. I went weak in the
knees. I didn't know. I should have.
Pushed him your way.
Yes, we have it. So next time I see him, I will say I have something for you.
Oh my god!
I have something for you.
That'd be like an early Christmas gift.
Yes,
Merry Christmas to us.
I'll see if I can work that out for you.
Hey, that's no problem.
So who would
spank me?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Do I have another spank me? I would say for spank me. Actually, you know who would be a good spank me? And I don't know why this just popped in my head, but Lindsay Lohan. I would let Lindsay Lohan spank me.
Really? She looks kind of weak.
She does, but she's kind of vicious. If you've ever seen any of her interviews or anytime she's getting upset at, like, TMZ, she's got a little yucky streak there that I think she'd give out a couple of good licks. I'm not saying all of them would be awesome, but I think there'd be some good, solid licks there.
Would that turn you on?
You don't know? Okay, well, my other favorite thing is Aftershock. I don't know if that's the real term of it, but that's what I call them. Like, when you're sitting somewhere, and, like, you breathe in a little deeply, and you've got, like, a pain from play from the night before, that's my favorite thing in the world. I'm talking about, you're just sitting there, like, I did a writing on it, on FetLife, and you're just sitting there, and you're looking at, you've got all this vanilla work to do, and you're doing stuff, and then all of a sudden, you just go for a sigh, like, and just you breathe in, and suddenly your whole side shocks you because there's just this pain running through your body, and like you breathe out and you completely remember exactly what happened. It's just your own little like picture perfect memory, like whether it's like a tendon that's pulled in your hand because you were tying somebody and you just went all out, or like you let your master just get that extra one tail in that you just knew was gonna sting, but you loved every minute of it. It's just your own private little moment.
I can't tell you how many submissives or bottoms that I've talked to who actually get upset when their bruises or cuts or anything, any of their play markings start to fade. And you know, there's a term for it called sub-frenzy, where submissives or bottoms get they get really hungry for play. And part of that is the fact that their marks are fading, or it's been too long in between play, and you know, tops and doms and masters and mistresses go through it too sometimes. You know, where you get that craving.
What do you call it when the doms miss it? Top frenzy?
Top frenzy, yeah.
See, it's
when you just
want
to play.
You just, that, yeah. I said, I need to. I need to
release demons.
My demons. That's what I call it. Yeah.
Well, I call mine aftershocks. It's just a pain. Because as a model, I'm not allowed to have a lot of marks. I have one now that I'm trying to get rid of. But the pain itself, there was a dom who responded on FetLife, and she was like, I completely understand. She's like, I've had those moments when, like, my hands, like, all cramped up from just holding so tight. And she was like, you know, sometimes when it starts to heal, I'm like, damn. And even myself, like, I played not too long ago, and now, like, I'm a quick healer, unfortunately. And so, like, all the pain pieces are just about gone, and I'm like, oh, okay. I need to play again.
Let's see. So the person I would like to spank, because that's all I do is give out spankings, among other things, and floggings and paddlings and all that stuff, is David Duchovny. I know this big shit over David Duchovny. I love, because I was like totally X-Files addict person, right? So I love my Mulder, right? So I thought it was really hot. So what happened was, I used to watch the show, and I was like fantasizing, like, oh man, have him over my lap, and he married that skinny ass bitch, whatever her name is.
But she's not bitter. No. David, don't think that. She's not bitter. She still loves you.
So there's like this big thing is because he's like addicted to porn or some such shit, and the stuff came out where he's like online porn. You know why? Because the bitch, she ain't doing her job right. What happened? You frigid, baby? You frigid? Is that what it is? So I would love, and he seemed like he could be a subby. He so seems like it. Like, he has it within him. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I would have like to have him. And he has to wear the suit. He has to do the suit thing. And I have to, like, get it all sloppy.
Go, go.
You know when you're, she's just like, go, go, go. She's fixing the microphone. So,
Ghostbusters Racer.
That movie's so...
Oh, who's talking about the movie? I was talking about the show.
Yeah, but no, it did bad. It did really bad. And I don't know why, because I love... Okay, I take it back. One person that I would let spank me and the only female alive is Christina Ricci. Christina Ricci, I love you. I love you, baby. There's this picture she wearing this cat suit. Did you see that photo?
I did not.
Then it's like shining. She's like bent down. And she has like clear shoes, like Cinderella. And her face is also the back. And because she's not like a modern beauty, but she got like this big kind of route. She is hot. She is so hot. Christina, you are the only chick that I will bear ass for. Okay?
You may be the only person. Fuck girl. Fuck that you're a girl. You may be the only person.
I love her. She's hot.
But she would have loved
I have all these crazy movies from her where it's all like obscure, like indie shit. So we're going to be playing. Thank you everybody for telling us your wonderful... Your wonderful spank me spank yous. So our next part is going to be our what's in my toy bag. And we're going to be looking at Scully's toy bag. So he brought some stuff. Yay! So let's see what other people have.
The X-Files theme music playing right now as Scully's pulling some stuff.
So let's see what you have.
Let's see.
And you could jiggle it so it makes noise. Love that. Like how we... There we go. People know you actually have
right.
something.
There is a bag here, ladies and gentlemen, and I... have been thumbing through.
Ooh. Well,
first thing.
Oh.
Do you want to pause it?
That's the sub. Why don't you call me?
I don't know. Oh my god.
Alright, so the first thing I'm looking at is this nice, beautiful little dollar store pen with a whole bunch of feathers on the end of it. Now, one of the companies that I work for is Blue Fetish Productions, the French spelling of blue, and we're known in the tickling community for our website, tickling.info. We are a three-time tickling company of the year, and we make softcore tickling fetish videos. And so, of course, nice little pen with beautiful feathers on the end of it, are great for tickling people.
All right, I need to ask a question on tickling.
Yeah, go right ahead. Well, Gene, you picked a topic close to my heart.
We're gonna go long.
Because, okay, like, I like the tickling thing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, especially with men, they're like, oh, I don't tickle, because I know a lot of women are really vulnerable at their feet.
Okay.
Okay, what is men's most vulnerable part? Like, if you were to tickle, yeah, exactly. What would men be more ticklish at?
Now, this is it's a very interesting concept when you're talking about tickling, because by definition, tickling is a disruption of the nerves. Now, there's two types of tickling. There's the very sensitive tickling when you, like say, ants crawling on the skin, that type of very light touching tickling. And then there's the deep muscle stimulation where you're actually like poking somebody or grabbing, you know,
like a pressure.
Yeah, pressure points or things. Now the first part of it, everybody is ticklish to some extent or not. The second part of it, it's very interesting because some people are ticklish in certain spots. Some people can turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are only ticklish in certain ways or different scenarios. And at the same time, it's also a mind game, because just like you can't tickle yourself, because, you know, part of it is in your head. So it's hard to... There's really no one spot of guys versus girls.
Okay, so you have to go through all the different and see which one sticks.
But that's half the
fun.
Well,
exactly.
That's half the
fun.
You need
to explore. I know.
Well,
but it's like sometimes, oh, you can't tickle me. And I could just be like, oh, really? Okay. And I find that one spot immediately. And just fucks with their head. Like, oh, my God, how did you know that was... So I just wanted to know if there was like a little thing.
What I can tell you is that, you know, everyone knows the basic spots. The underarms, the ribs, the, you know, the back of the knees, the feet, of course, is a huge one. But then some of the secondary spots, the spots that are a little harder, the hip bones.
The front of the hip bones,
the side of the hip bones, they, you know, nice little spots that a lot of people are ticklish at.
Blowing on it helps.
It does. No, it's true. It's true. The chest muscles, pretty much right where your shoulder attaches to the very top of your breast. That little spot right there is usually very ticklish, but people are too focused on the underarms to actually get that top spot.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, right? That little soft little area right there.
And and then another one is the neck. Anywhere right along the jawline usually works very well.
I'm really bad about that. Yeah, that's mine.
And I giggle so bad. Yeah. Now, I'm a total reaction junkie. My number one fetish is I like getting reactions out of people. Doesn't matter whether it's cutesy, laughing, or screaming, or crying, or torturing, or cursing me off.
Mm-hmm.
As a dominant in my play, mm-hmm. it's about invoking a reaction.
Yeah. You feed off of that.
Oh, I do. I do.
Feed off of that.
And so, you know, the neck one is a great tickling spot because they scrunch their whole entire body up into a little tiny ball and make the weirdest little faces because there's really nothing they can do about it.
Okay, what else you got in the back?
Ooh, what else do I got?
I see something over there. It's all curled up. That looks a little dangerous.
I can show you this is my bullwhip. It's a 10.5-foot brown and white leather bullwhip. This bullwhip is honestly a piece of crap.
Oh, really?
I'm not gonna lie. There's nothing amazing about the quality of this bullwhip.
It looks pretty though.
You know,
Let me say that.
It does look pretty, but it's damaged in many ways and it's never been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that makes this so incredibly special is that this is the very first weapon that I have ever bought in my life.
Oh, really? Ooh, yeah. That goes with our first experiences.
Yep. So this is, basically, I started out as a little kid collecting pocket knives to sharpen marshmallow sticks when me and my family went camping.
Oh, okay.
So by the time that I was like 12 or 13 or so, I had, you know, a small handful of pocket knives.
Mm-hmm.
We went away on vacation one year, and we wound up at this flea market that had the table of knives. I'm a little tiny kid. I'm like, ooh, I pick up the biggest, meanest, gnarliest Bowie knife you've ever seen.
It had little curves and all that.
Curves and nasty claw marks and everything on it. And of course, my mom just looked at me and said, no. No, not on
that.
Not till you move out. So I put that down, reached a foot further and grabbed the bullwhip and said, what about this? And that's what happened.
Oh my
she
God.
Said, okay.
If she only knew what she was creating.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and baby Dom.
Yep, I spent many, many hours playing with this little toy out in my front yard.
Sorry.
Get mad little kid with a damn toy.
Yeah.
They're staring at me because I'm smelling the bow whip. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, now, this whip, what I like about it is that it's very versatile. As a whip, it's pretty damn crappy. It's not the best whip. But and then on top of that, it's 10.5 feet long.
In
New York City,
you never have room
for a 10.5-foot bullwhip.
You don't have room for a 5-foot bullwhip.
So,
two foot.
Right. But what's nice is I now have 10.5 feet of leather rope that I can tie somebody up with.
Yeah, definitely.
I can grab it closer to the handle and just use the last foot and a half
as a single tail,
almost like using a flogger. The handle is a leather-wrapped wood handle. So I have this beautiful, you know, foot-long handle that I can hit people with. And, you know, just for that reason, it is quite versatile. And then, yes, I can use it as a whip. It is very fun for that reason as well. But it's also just the sentimental effect of it that I've had it, you know, since I was 13 years old, and I'll have it forever.
Be buried with it.
Yep.
Just so like that type of sentiment, you'd be great with it. Like, put it with me.
And then, of course, it's a fun story, and everyone loves a good story.
It is good. So, since you're talking about the bullwhip and what age you bought it and all that, let's talk about your first experience. Did you use it when you were first doing or going into BDSM? Was that the first thing that you used on someone? Or
Well, so it's kind of a gray area of where I started getting into the BDSM side of things, because I started off doing club and concert security, which led me to the local goth club, which had a fetish night. But honestly, I never quite understood it. I never understood the play fact of it. Going to a club, dressing up, everything is great. But and then there are people who are really into spankings and floggings and all these things. I just never understood it. So, you know, I did have several experiences with girlfriends over the years who, you know, they wanted me to play with them or tickle them up or tie them up. But I never understood the mindset of it, and I was doing it to please them.
Make them happy.
Yeah. And it wasn't until recently that, or more recently, I should say, that I started taking some classes with TESS, the Eulen Spiegel Society, one of the oldest and largest educational group, BDSM educational groups in the country. They're based out of New York. And I started going to the novice group, and it was a great introduction, and that started allowing me to see past just the physical aspects. It's not just a spanking. It's the humiliation. It's the power. It's the, you know, I'm controlling you. I am putting you in your place because you're giving me that gift. You're allowing me to run things. And when you disobey, I need to correct the dynamic. So, it's been a very long transition. But it's been a very enjoyable journey.
Do you think you're an innate dominant? Because that's one of the things that I talked about last time was when I was younger, the whole idea of domination and dominating men and being in control and the boys, I wanted to beat them up and
yeah.
Arm wrestle and shit like that. So
that's a great question. A great question, because I think a lot of people come into the scene thinking, oh, well, I'm not dominant enough. I'm not an alpha person. I'm not the type A personality that has to take charge all the time. What do I do? Am I not dominant enough? Am I really a dom? Can I be a dom? And that was one of the questions that I had going into the scene, because I'm such a laid back person. But at the same time, I'm a leader. When I played football in high school, I was one of the captains. Not because I had to take charge of everybody, but because I wanted to do my best and make sure that my team equally did their best. And it wasn't, there's a saying, I'd rather lead by example lead in front than use the whip from behind. You know, I was there, I'm a leader because I go into the front and I'm saying, guys, let's go, girls, come on, let's do it, the best we can all the time and push. Not, you know, in the back saying, all right, well, hey, guys, go ahead, do this. I want you to, you know, boss around. So for me, one of the happiest moments, really, when getting started was when I learned about daddy doms. Because I'm not a big, mean, strict dom in the
No, you have to describe stereotype. You have to say what a hell a daddy dom is.
I'm getting
He's
there.
He's getting there.
I'm getting there.
I feel it. I feel the circle coming for that U-turn that we're about to
do. Yeah. So, you know, you see the stereotype of that big, mean dom, the drill sergeant type that has to take control of every situation. That's not me. I'm easygoing, laid back about pretty much everything. But when there's something I'm not happy with, then I do something about it. When somebody's pushing my buttons the wrong way, I address the situation. When my play partners, are interested in me as a person, as a dominant, then they do it out of respect, not out of intimidation or fear. They come to me because they like who I am, they like the type of person I try and push myself to be, and they get caught up in that energy. And it's a good energy to get caught up in, because when they come to me to play with me, that's what I expect from them. If you're gonna be involved with me as a partner, I'm gonna expect the very best out of you at all times, and I think that's a big part of being a dominant, is getting your partner to live up to their potential. And that, you know, so that's
I think that's true, especially with the people that's online, I think, and sees it from that aspect that's online that want to try it. Their idea of it is that you have to be the screaming, mean person, like, 24/7.
Yeah.
And I've met submissives where it's like, well, you're not a real whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to wear a corset and be like, bitch, get on the fucking floor! And, like, no. I mean, you're not going to get that. You know, if I'm in that mood or we're doing a scene or whatever, yeah, I could go into that. But I'm not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think you have to be like that for me to get exactly. you to do what you need to do.
Well, even I was talking to this other submissive, and she was saying that even for her, she was like, you know, it was really hard because she's not the type of person who always is submissive. You know, maybe she was saying at her work, she is somebody who you got to get this done, you got to get that done, and she likes laying back to that role when she's playing. And I was like, oh, because I think people think, oh, well, if I'm not submissive all the time, I'm not 100% submissive, like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, like, if you have a boundary where you're like, I wouldn't, you know, want somebody to put their feet on me. That's okay. You can have things that you don't want to do, and it's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that you're a bad submissive. It doesn't mean that you're going to be horrible. It just means that you have to be looking for somebody who's going to work within where you're at.
Yeah, both aspects. You don't have to be in communication. Communication is very
one
very
of
important.
One of the three principles that I try and push when I'm, you know, explaining my beliefs in this whole area of kink and BDSM is communication, integrity, and respect. I think anything and everything we do gets boiled down to those three terms, and as long as you communicate with your partners and your friends and, you know, your intentions, have the integrity to back up the things that you talk about and communicate, and have the respect of the person while you're communicating what you want and hopefully what they want and making all these decisions. If as long as you follow those three points, keep those three things in mind, you can have a very healthy relationship while you're doing some very despicable things to people, and it can turn out to be a very wonderful and fun experience.
Hi, it's Foxy. As we're moving along talking about experiences, for those of you who do want to go out and play
and have your own experiences,
exactly, there's a lot of great BDSM play parties that are going on. If you listen to episode 2, shameless plug for episode 2, as there's been many, I listed all the ones that are going on this month. The last one of the month is coming up, and that is on September 28th. It is a suspension party. It's at China One. I would give you the address, but I'm going to probably mess it up if I give it to you right now.
Avenue B and in between 4th and 5th Street. You'll see a whole bunch of freaks standing outside smoking and having a good time. But it is a very cool location. It's two rooms on the downstairs, very lavish, very erotic, and the music is amazing. We have some amazing DJs that play all around New York and some of the bigger fetish events in the country. And it's another event of the New York City Fetish Tribe. This is not an event that I produce, but it's definitely an event that does a very good job at mixing the fetish fashion along with the lifestyle areas of play and kinky play, which is something that New York hasn't seen very well in a couple of years.
And I, just to let everyone know, Foxy will be at and making an appearance in another Emily Gerard original. At suspension, I'll be there with a couple people, just kind of in the scene, and I think I have some playing that I have to do apparently. But I'll probably be running another contest, so I would suggest you all check out my blog for my next contest. And I think there are probably other things going on, so if you know of other play parties, other things you'd like us to announce, feel free to email Emily at Emily_Gerard@yahoo.com, and we will add your announcement to the parties that are going on. There's tons and tons of stuff coming up for October, so be sure to listen to this cast for episode 4, because it'll be a nice long laundry list of things going on, because October is going to be crazy.
Yeah, October is the month.
That's exactly. Not just appearances, not just play. There will be a lot going on, so be ready and have your pocketbooks lined.
Alrighty, so now we're going to be answering listener questions. And today I have a whole lot. So thank you to all my listeners for submitting your questions. And
we love you.
Yes, we do. So we're going to go ahead and pull it to the panel. And one of the first questions is, I guess they're talking about something that happened to them, I guess, at a club or a party, whatever. How do I deal with something that was said to me but was inappropriate? So I guess it's like a party atmosphere where, I guess, you know, you don't know what everybody is, so I guess somebody went up to someone and said something that they felt a little uncomfortable with, so someone's a little uptight. But it's okay. Panel?
I wouldn't say it's uptight. It's going to happen. Even with my first party, if you listen to episode 2, where I talked about my first party, people don't always know, and so they don't know how to approach everyone, and sometimes their approach isn't the most tactful, let's say, approach. But nothing, I don't think there's ever a time that people mean it out of malice. So I guess my advice would be, if something is said that's inappropriate, just try and gracefully bow out of the situation as gracefully as you can. And if they persist, slug them in the jaw. No! if they persist, I mean, hopefully you didn't come there by yourself. And hopefully you know a couple of people on what's going on.
Become friends with a really, you know, big, strong dom.
I mean, I've never, thus far at the play parties I've been to, I've had some people ask for things that I didn't feel comfortable doing or I didn't want to do. I had a request for butt play, or for butt worship, and I was like, no, I'm good. And they didn't persist beyond that, but had they pushed, I would, no, like, sometimes it takes that. Sometimes it takes a really strong no. And even if you're a sub, if you say no, you say no. It's supposed to be a give and take. It's supposed to be something that everyone's enjoying. And if you're not enjoying it, it stops being fun for everyone involved.
Well, one thing you have to remember is, just because you're submissive or a bottom, you know, to the scene, doesn't mean you're submissive or going to bottom to everybody. And, mm-hmm. you know, yes, we do a lot of things that are not in, you know, normal, you know, the normal vanilla lifestyle. So sometimes there really isn't a nice, polite way to ask. You just ask. You ask the question and throw it out there and see what happens. And you have to be prepared for a straight up honest no. You know, hopefully the person does that with some type of tact and respect. Or sometimes they're doing it to kind of throw out that little dom energy and say, you want to be at my feet, don't you? You know?
Yeah. But they will. Please, they will.
But sometimes, you know, all you have to do is a nice, no, actually I don't, but it would be really hot if you were at my feet.
Yeah.
And you know what? And if
it's a laughing moment.
Yeah, it is a laughing moment. And sometimes when somebody throws out that really asshole statement as a kind of throwing it out there, the best you could do is laugh it off and, you know, respond in kind and see what they say. Yeah. If you know, a lot of times it could lead to a good friendship, at the very least. You know, sometimes they'll just get put in their place and walk away. And obviously, if it's somebody who's a problem, if they persist past that point, every single club has some kind of security. Every single club has every single party has some kind of host that will, you know, and plus everybody else who's just there, we're a very self-policing community. And, or, you know, believe me, if you say red, which is a very respected, well-known safe word, a way of just saying, you know, red, or I don't want to play with you, no, you know, please leave me alone, you'll get everybody's attention. And if there's a problem, people will come and help you out. You know, we push boundaries, and when you push boundaries, there's always a lot of people who are ready to, make sure that those boundaries are still within a safe and healthy environment.
Alrighty, now our next question. For those who aren't 100% goring, ? So, yeah, because I have, but I think, because the whole goring thing, it has to be submissive females, right?
Well, I'm not an expert on Gloria.
I'm not either.
I'll list that right away. The things that I do know about is, you know, Gorian started as a series of books. I believe 13 books. I could be completely off on that number.
I think they might be even out of print.
Yeah, but they're very, you know, they are in circulation. And it's definitely geared around being the male dom, female submissive.
Mm-hmm.
There are examples of alternate ways, but you know,
I just know that the female are submissive and the males are dominant. I think it had something with maybe like a slave auction or something like that. But because I think it's like really, there's some of them that are like really into that whole gore, and it was like, because I've had males come up to me like, well, you're not supposed to be dominant because you're female, that sort of thing. And I'm like, oh, what, gory? And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. So
you know, there are the things people need to remember is that Gorian is a lifestyle choice. It's a thing that somebody created this book and created an alternate reality of the core, the Gorian lifestyle. You don't have to subscribe to it. If someone chooses to subscribe to that lifestyle and force it on you, then that's where there's a problem. And you know, there are some very wonderful things from Gorian lifestyle that a lot of BDSM people use, such as some of the slave positions, which are just positions that you put your body into to make you feel more submissive. And, you know, you can just, with either a finger gesture, as a dominant, with either a finger gesture or a simple command, tell your submissive to go into one of, you know, several positions they have. That's a fun thing to have, whether you're Gorian or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then also Gorian do take some things from the other from the lifestyle community. So there is a lot of cross-pollination, but, you know, like you said, it shouldn't be, you should never force somebody to your rules and standards, and some Gorians have been accused of that. But overall, I think it's a very, you know, it's another alternative lifestyle, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't. It's just, you know, some people like that, and some people like, no, I can leave it. Our next question is domination, submission, and religion. Ooh, we just talked about the R word. Oh boy.
I was thinking about this today. It's funny, as I didn't even see this question. One thing I guess everyone, whether people know it or not, is my dad is a pastor, reverend person. And so I've grown up with the Bible, like 100%. If you can
quote from it and tell you people.
If you all saw my last blog and you won my kissing contest, you know that the quote was from the Bible. It was actually from the Bible in multiple places. So those of you who won the kisses, I was surprised. Cause I was surprised at how many people found it out of the Bible. I honestly, when you say the word religion, I think you have to separate it even further, because I don't think of religion as religion. It's what the church defines it as. What the church defines it as are a bunch of rules that I really don't adhere to. But I think
she's a sinner.
Well, I think the thing about me is that I've always been an interdenominational Christian, and I do believe in God, and I love God with all my heart. Nothing wrong with that. But I don't believe that there's any separation between what I feel as far as love and lust, that there's anything wrong with that. My boyfriend and I, we've had talks about where I am sexually and what I'm into and where he's at and what he's into, and they're not the same thing. And we still love each other. We still want to get married and all these other great things. And we're going to do it in a church in front of everybody and their mother. But I don't see how, if you have a love of God and you have a love for the BDSM community, as long as you're not hurting anyone, I don't see how you're breaking any rules as it all goes. Because the rules that are there were put together by someone else, by the church. So loving God is really the only rule that I foresee is a big rule. So unless you stop doing that, go ahead. Be as religious as you'd like to. Go to church every Sunday and enjoy yourself. And then go out to the play party that night. You're not doing anything wrong in my eyes. And if it is somebody who says that you're doing something wrong, they're not your God. God is up there, so you do what you feel you need to do for you to be okay. I think if
for those of you who don't believe in God or who do believe in God, if there is someone up there who's looking out for you, I think they would want you happy. And if you're not happy being yourself and giving yourself 100% to whatever lifestyle you want, I don't think he would be happy. And that's my take on that.
I actually do wish my girlfriend was here. Lady D is, she's actually co-facilitator of the novice group for Tess. And she's a educator within the scene, and one of her classes is balancing the lifestyle with your religion. She came from a very, very strong Christian background, and that's one of her special classes, and one she teaches on a regular basis. But
We'll get her on the following show.
Yeah, yeah, I'll bring her in here.
Feel free to go to the Tess website.
Yes, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Shameless plug for Tess website.
Shameless plug. Which is what, T-E-S?
T-E-S.org. www.tes.org. Yeah. So feel free to go. There's lots of great classes. And as Scully was saying, you can always attend classes and you don't have to feel any kind of way, or you don't have to play. It can be that you're really looking at, okay, I don't know what to do with this. And it's okay.
So as far as the religion goes, I feel very similar to as Foxy does about it. You know, it's, for me, there's a big separation between spiritual and religion. And my religious background is in a Christian church. And I was an altar boy. Never had any problems with the priest.
My heart just melted. If you guys didn't hear it, it was my heart melting.
But,
cuteness.
You know, I definitely,
the wine of the cross.
What?
Did you carry the wine
of the cross,
or did you carry the ashes?
Yeah. I think all of them at some point. I can't remember everything, but you know, I think it's it comes down to believing what you believe in, and believing that what you're doing, as far as play goes, is just not hurting anybody, and most of the experiences that we have in the community or in play is a rewarding, growing experience. Most of the relationships are healthy, and they help us grow as people. And I can't imagine any religion, any deity out there having a problem with that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for submitting your questions, and I thank you for listening to This Fetish Life, and I will see you next week, and hopefully we'll get some more wonderful guests to come on, because it will be great having people giving their take on the scene and actually educating everyone on what it's about and what This Fetish Life is doing. So thank you, and I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.